Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Part 2 of 2 Parts, September 10, 2019.
Inside, I'm here to discuss the fee and schedule policy that's being imposed on the Cheltenham Aquatic Club. The Cheltenham Aquatic Club, for the last 50 years or so, has enjoyed a status of a Class 2 organization, which means that 90% of the kids there are Cheltenham residents. This is the feeder club that sends the kids to the swim team at the high school. You're going to be hearing from some of the kids here today regarding this policy, but I wanted to bring up a finer point, more of a business type point. For that 50 years or so that they've been in existence, Cheltenham Aquatic Club did not have to file as a 501c3 corporation. About a month ago, they were informed by the district that they needed that status in order to enter into a lease at the pool. This is a 3 to 6 month process to do. We had already been contacted about our lease for the coming year. It was sort of status quo, same thing as last year. We as parents were preparing our normal fee for the year, but now we're getting a fee structure that's about 7 times higher than what we're used to paying. And we're also getting our access to the pool cut from 5 nights a week to 3 nights a week. That's actually impossible to field a swim team. You can't really do your practice that way and field a competitive swim team. This club is part of USA Swimming. They do meets all over the Delaware Valley, as far out as Lancaster. So it's a very real group. It's a very real part of this community. And given that small technical fact, I'm respectfully requesting of anybody that this policy at least be deferred in some way until they can get the proper paperwork in place to be a 501c3 corporation, and to get some legs under these really enormous changes that's going to really negatively affect the Cheltenham Aquatic Club and in turn the Cheltenham swim team at the high school. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I think we're going to collect all the comments initially and then we'll respond to those collectively.
So my name is Molly O'Neill. I live in Glenside and I'm a junior at CHS, and I'm here tonight simply to ask the reasoning behind the new facilities policy and why it is affecting the rent and availability of the high school pool so drastically. I'm a part of the high school swim team, but only because of the club team at the high school. I started on Cheltenham Aquatic Club when I was 8 years old and have been a member ever since. It not only allowed me to find something I am talented at, but as well as a group of friends that I would not know otherwise. By making these changes, you are not only limiting the ability for kids to find a passion in sports, as I did, but also the performance of the high school team. Karen Wertschafter is the head coach of both teams and will tell you that the club team is a feeder team for the high school. Our fastest swimmers come from the club, and last year, two of them qualified and competed in districts. Cheltenham Aquatic Club also acts as a pre- and post-season for the high school, winter season. It only takes 2 weeks for us to become deconditioned and at least 2 months to regain that muscle back. The fall preseason allows me and my teammates to get back in shape for the winter. Without that, we wouldn't be as successful as we are. I take pride in my performance, and if pride is Cheltenham High School, shouldn't you too? Swimming already isn't valued at the high school. And by going through with this, it is showing us that we do not matter. I have put so much time and effort into this sport just to see a number on the board. Last season, I dedicated 360 hours to the high school swimming, and even more in the preseason and postseason. But all of it to me is worth it. So please, although it may not seem like a drastic change to you, no one will be willing to pay that amount or that would be a sufficient amount of time for them to practice in, and especially with conditions that the pool is in, and realize the number of people who will be affected. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. Coming to the podium. Any other comments?
Hi, my name is Mirabelle Hayes. I've been swimming with Cheltenham Aquatics Club for about 4.5 years now. I come from the Cheltenham School District. I went to Glenside. I'm an EP now. The Aquatic Club is just like an amazing group of people, and without like the right training, we're not going to get anywhere. And if we're only allowed 3 days a week, and we're paying more for getting less time to practice, everybody's going to quit. That's basically what I'm saying here. And if everybody's quitting, then everybody's going to go to different high schools, and this is a big cause and effect here. But what's going to happen is your team of Cheltenham high schoolers, about, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years, is going to be a group of lousy swimmers. And we don't want lousy swimmers. We want good swimmers, not bad swimmers. So by not letting us practice as much, it's just not going to be a good idea to do that.
Thank you.
That's a hard act to follow. My name is Michelle Marlin. I've been a Cheltenham Township resident for 30 years. And I wanted to talk about how Cheltenham Aquatic Club, how important it's been to my family and the community in general. My older son, who's now 26 years old, began swimming at Cheltenham Aquatic Club in first grade up to his sophomore year in high school. When he finally quit the swim team to run full time, and see Coach Sexton here is pretty cool. My younger son, who is now 21, started with Cheltenham Aquatic Club in kindergarten and is still swimming competitively. He's a senior at Tufts University and is captain of the swim team. I am so grateful that my sons had the opportunity to be part of Cheltenham Aquatic Club for so many years. Not only did they receive excellent swim training by Karen, but also develop time management skills and discipline. There's something really incredible to see your young kids, come home every day and rush and do their homework so that they go to the pool and swim for 2 hours, 5 nights a week. They also form deep friendships. They both would credit Cheltenham Aquatic Club for helping them become so successful athletically and academically. I want other children in this community to have that same opportunity. People have mentioned that the high school, or the Cheltenham Aquatic Club, is a feeder for the high school team. I'm not sure if you're all aware, but the NCAA rules prohibit high school teams to have practices prior to the season. So it's really important that we have a private club that does that so that our high school team is as competitive as possible. I understand and appreciate the school board looking at ways to generate revenue, but increasing costs for Cheltenham Aquatic Club will close a valuable program that has been an integral part of the community for 50 years. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else like to make a comment about the article?
Good evening, my name is Chris Snyder. I live in Elkins Park, and I'm a father of a swimmer at the Cheltenham Aquatic Club. But the O'Neills and everybody else have said pretty much everything I was going to say, but I did want to make a comment to Mr. Schultz, talking about your report on late busing. And you indicated for Fridays there would be little or no impact, and you'd be able to save $11,000. Does that mean no one's taking the bus on Friday? As far as you know?
I was reporting back the presentation.
Okay.
By the recommendation.
So,
would you be able to clarify? Forgive me if I misrepresented anything
about it. No, you said there would be a reduction in the number of late buses that were running on Friday. So, some of the analysis that we did is ridership.
Okay.
And we did that for the year. We collected totals. So, we saw that we were running multiple late buses. for a possible total of 13 kids at some times.
Okay.
So those 13 kids can ride on one late bus instead of ordering three.
Okay, so that was a proposal? That was sort of like...
Right, I said elimination incorrectly.
Okay.
I didn't say elimination, you said conduction.
Right.
I thought I heard elimination, so I just wanted to make sure, because to me that's kind of a smaller version of what this is about. If it's a money issue, I certainly can understand that as far as the pool goes and the facilities. But there's got to be some middle ground. If they're talking seven times a increase, a sevenfold increase, which you know may or may not be feasible. I don't really know what the fees are, but there's got to be some middle ground where the school district can raise some revenue and we can still have our swim club. So, but it sounds like there's almost like an all or nothing proposal here, where it's like you know it's our way or no way. That's at least the vibe I'm getting from the swim team. So I just hope if there is some middle ground, we can work that out. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I just want to sort of second and reiterate or follow up on comments that have been made.
Could you please state your name?
Yes.
It's
Abigail McMahon, and I live in on Melrose Avenue in Melrose Park. Both my children swim with the Cheltenham Aquatic Club, and there's no way that I could afford to send them there if the fees increase as they've been proposed. I simply won't be able to do it. My daughter has become passionate about swimming in part through Cheltenham Aquatic Club, and she's showing this passion and she's showing this drive, and she's doing these things like getting home and getting her homework done so that she can get to practice for swim team, and she's planning on joining the high school swim team. It's her first year in the high school, and it definitely aided in her transition to the high school and made her feel that she had something that she knew she would be doing and she would be good at when she got to high school. So it's distressing to me because I'd like my son to get that same opportunity, and he won't if these fees get raised, because we won't be able to afford the swim team anymore. So I hope you'll consider some kind of leeway for the team so that they have some time to get their nonprofit status, and also allow parents some time to adjust and figure out how we might raise funds to continue to have a swim team next year. Thank you.
Your comments.
Good evening. My name is Tom Sexton. I taught English at the high school for 37 years, and I coached cross country for 51. And now I'm a volunteer coach. And when I met our new athletic director last year, he said, "Tell me about Cheltenham Pride. What's Cheltenham Pride all about?" And I said, "For me, it's two things. I always felt the support of the administration when I was a teacher, when I was a coach." And I said, and the second thing was, the overriding question and the decisions made was, what's in the best interest of our students? So it seems tonight we have a situation where you have an opportunity to support a dedicated coach and also to make a decision in the student's best interest. And thank you for all the work you do for our district.
Thank you, Mr. Sexton. Any other comments about the pool? Okay, let me just 1 second in terms of the pool. I think there was a question raised with respect to kind of how the board came up with this policy. I wanted to provide a little bit of background and then defer to my colleagues who are right to add anything, colleagues who are anything. So we had a facilities use policy in place for quite some time. That facilities use policy did not reflect the actual cost of rental of those spaces within our school district, including the pool, fields, classrooms, et cetera. Probably almost a year ago, we really needed to look at that policy to ask yourself the question, was that policy really reflective of how we as a school district and how other school districts are really valuing the areas of the school that we rent out to the community? And we took a long, hard look at that because we were also realizing that the implementation of that policy was not necessarily even. so that there were interpretations of the policy that were providing latitude where there was very little accounting for the, not just the cost of use of the facility, but the upkeep and the management of those spaces as well. Because as you know, additional wear and tear in our buildings from repeated use occurs when we rent out our facilities to the community. Although we're glad to do that. So over time, we really did look at that. We had actually engaged, Ms. Michaels engaged a professional who looked at the fees that were being charged currently by our school district and looked at surrounding school districts within Montgomery County for comparable spaces. And that's how we came out with the fee schedule that we have that reflects not just the comparable costs and fees that are being charged by other school districts for the same areas, their buildings, but it also accounts for the wear and tear in the buildings, the maintenance that may need to occur before and after an event. And so those fees do reflect that considered judgment after evaluation by third party, independent third party. Mr. Cohen, did you want to, Sparkles, did you want to add anything to that in terms of the policies provided?
Thank you. Just to restate or add to what you covered already, for years there was a policy in effect that our understanding support was not being followed, in some cases, in many ways, including having different side agreements with organizations, including some that are longstanding in the township that were paying fees that the board was not aware of what the fee structure was. And the goal is not to be punitive towards an organization, but as was indicated before by Ms. Haywood, is to make the district whole, not to make a profit, but to pay for the wear and tear and operation and maintenance of the pool. Right now, to indicate, it's the cost is $30 a day that's being paid by the aquatics group, and that works out to $6 an hour. And I realize that the new proposed fee is very large and it's a dramatic change that can be viewed as a shock. But also, that was indicated by Ms. Haywood, that the new fee is aligned with other school districts, including Upper Dublin. Now, Grand Upper Dublin has a brand new facility, Grand High School, but the cost is less than Upper Dublin's high school. So we're not looking at doing something which is out of line with other school districts. We're not looking to be punitive. I realize that there will be an impact to the group. We're looking to be made equitable in terms of the school district for the cost we have for operation and maintenance, and also to treat different groups fairly. Right now, pragmatically, the group is a for-profit organization. I appreciate that it's looking at moving towards nonprofit status, but it is for-profit, and without going into great detail, there is reason to believe that the organization is making a meaningful profit right now. So I'm not saying that the organization can or cannot pay the additional cost, but the current status of the organization is as a for-profit entity. And that's all I'll address right now. Thank you.
I have a question. Is there a chance we can get a copy of that?
Excuse me, one second.
Point of order?
No, it's a point of order because I'm going to have Ms. Michaels clarify some things, and then you can come up. If you are making a comment, I'd ask that you come up to the podium again for the record so we can get your name on the record and where the district lives. So I'm going to first have Ms. Michaels clarify a couple of things, and then if there are any other comments about the pool, please come up one at a time to the podium. Again, state your name and where it is.
Okay, I did just want to clarify a couple things in feedback on Mr. Coleman, comments that he's made. I do want to say that the Aquatics Club was not told that they had to get a 501c3 in order to have an agreement with the district. What the conversation was with Mr. Teasdale, when the two representatives from the Aquatics Club met with him, is that if you were indeed a 501c3, which is a nonprofit status, that you would not have to pay according to the board policy. So I'm going to make that very clear because I don't want there to be misunderstanding on information and meetings that are happening and things that are getting delayed. So that 501c3 is not contingent upon the district maintaining its relationship with the Aquatic Club. It was simply something that Mr. Teasdale pointed out that if there were no fees charged, that you would have to be a 501c3. The second point where, and I do want to stress this, is breaking down annually what the Aquatics Club has paid to the district. It is $30 a day for the use of a pool for about 3 hours. It's 5 days a week. There are clubs and organizations that use the pool on the weekend. It does not give our facilities or maintenance people any type of time to clean the pool, to address the pool, in which not only our athletic director, but we've gotten complaints from other people about the state of the pool. We can't maintain the pool when we have people using it to the degree that they are. Just to state too, the Aquatics Club is not the only club with this policy that has been told or has been a long-standing group that has used facilities 5 days, 7 days a week in order to make sure that our facilities are state of art for number one, our high school students and the people that use those as our student athletes. We want to make sure that we have time to not only address the facilities, but make sure we have time that our guys have, they can just spend on it, and our facilities have time to breathe. So again, this is not punitive. This board policy has been talked about for a long time now. This is nothing that should be new to anybody. I am aware that facilities secretary did reach out to the Aquatics Club, spoke to an individual to let them know that the policy, this was back in April, that a new policy was being put in place and that the fee structure was going to change. I know Mr. Teasdale took time out of his day to sit down and meet with two representatives from the Aquatics Club and had a very meaningful conversation. So in saying all this, yes, I hear what everybody's saying, but meeting halfway, I think paying $30 a day for the amount of use that's happening in our pool, day in and day out, I don't think that's equitable either. So I just wanted to make sure that I got those messages out there and that we really put on the record conversations and truths that are happening when it comes to this facility use policy.
And Mr. Schultz. This maybe was led off the bat, but I want to reiterate, this policy is not a judgment of the value of any program, of any community program or any program that rents facilities and the value of that program to the community. From my perspective, it really is around equity and consistent application of the fee structure, which our district did not have for some time, and frankly, allowed certain groups to have an unfair advantage against other groups. And that's not what the business of a school district should be in, is providing an advantage to one group over another. In addition to, frankly, the state of the pool has been referenced since I've joined the board, I've heard about the state of the pool, and I think the fact that it has been used without being able to recoup maintenance costs may be part of why the state of the pool is what it is now. If the fee structure had been more appropriate for a long period of time, would the pool be in the state that it's in today? I don't know. But the last thing I just wanted to mention is, to some extent, whether or not there's a profit or not a profit, I don't think this hinges on that. If there's no profit, that means that the program attendees are being subsidized by taxpayer dollars. If there is profit, that means the owners are being subsidized by taxpayer dollars. Either way, this is a private organization that is not serving freely every member of the Cheltenham student body. We as a board and our system needs to be laser focused on supporting our student body. And I appreciate that this has value to members of our student body, and I hope it can continue to survive truly with these changes. But I think the intent of the policy is to try to create a consistent framework that everybody can operate in to have sustainable service for our community. So that's all.
Do any other community comment or question?
Hi, Jeff O'Neill from Glenside. Lots to unpack there. First off, you need your money back from your consultant, because if they're comparing the Cheltenham pool to Upper Dublin and basing a rate on that, there's absolutely no comparison. To the for-profit aspect, this team had to have a bake sale to get a new lap clock, We didn't approach the district. We didn't get anything from the district on that. We had to raise funds on our own to get that type of equipment. In terms of the notice and things being talked about since April, there was absolutely no transparency on the magnitude of the rate hike until it was introduced about a month ago. So, and in time for this. Three nights a week also, I don't know what algorithm came up with that, but if you know anything about a swim club, you're not going to be able to field a team for three nights a week. And not serving freely the constituency of Cheltenham Township. This club has never turned down a member that's approached it. We heard about the NCAA rules, we heard about the necessity for it, but to define it technically as a for-profit private club really undermines the spirit of why this organization is together. I get it from that technical standpoint. We were given the advice to get a 501c3 corporation nonprofit going, but all this is happening within the last month. So expect us to react and raise the proper money to get a team into the pool this year is very, very concerning. The due process is lacking. Thank you.
Okay. Do I have any other community comments? On the floor?
Yeah, can I speak to this room?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Liz Karras, and I'm an advocacy group called Parents of Cheltenham. I've lived here for 20 years, I've never heard of your group. My sons, my sons both swim. They swim up in, I'm sorry.
The comments need to be directed at the board.
Okay, I'm sorry. My sons swim in Fort Washington. I pay $89 a week. 89, each of them is at 98, something like this. It's almost $100. I've never heard of you until this morning when they started posting this whole thing. So if you say that you're open to everybody, you should advertise, because I am active on Facebook. I've never heard about you until today. And I look around and I don't see anyone that I know. Oh, and I don't see Cheltenham being represented. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other community comments?
You're so glad.
Hi. Margie O'Neill, I live in Glenside. The sign for Cheltenham Aquatic.
What's your name again, please?
Margaret O'Neill.
Thank you.
Glenside. The sign to swim for Cheltenham Aquatic Club. I live on Willow Grove Avenue. Pretty popular street. There's two signs on that street for Cheltenham Aquatic Club. We advertise. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a clarification. I'm sorry. I just want to clarify, when I said freely, I apologize if that created this miscommunication. I think that it's just a literal sense of...
Excuse me. We really want to make sure that we're respectful of each other's opinions. And I think you can hear those important opinions if people are talking to each other.
Just call him racist because I go up to the Rockman. Please, watch your mouth. If you don't know, watch your mouth. You call me racist. No, you call me racist.
No, you inferred that.
Can I remind everyone we just passed the civility policy? And we're not acting very civil towards each other right now, so I have to take a deep breath.
And there are children in the room.
Okay, I'm going to adjourn this meeting and I'll come back when we're able. Well, recess, excuse me. For recess meeting, I'll come back when we're able. Thank you.
I found out about it. Everybody else found out about it. Hold that. Yeah, you don't have to.
Fernanda, I live in Glenside. My daughter has been swimming with Chel since she was about 9 years old. She's now at the high school. She's a junior. She's been swimming for the high school, and that has really brought her a lot of confidence, you know, moving in from the middle school into the high school. And on top of it all, yes, physical helps a lot with her physical appearance, but it's also for her mental. And I think it's not the only, you know, swimmer that's going to help with her mental. We really would like to ask you, please grandfather us in. We are not making any profit, and this is really helping the township. If you show up in one of the practices, you'll see we are an amazing, diverse team, and it has really brought a lot of friendships and really support with the mental and the everything else. So please, grandfather us in. We would like to ask for that.
Thank you very much for your comments.
I just want to make sure it was not implied. I want to make sure nobody took what I said to imply that you don't serve the entire district or that there's anything about diversity or anything along those lines. I was speaking in terms of literally the free public school aspect of a free public school versus a separate organization. So I just apologize for accidentally introducing that to this conversation. It was not intended.
Any other comments about the pool? Okay. Any other comments on anything? Before you do, though, so the board has heard your comments. We have not heard them. We've heard them. So thank you.
My name is Rick Tauber. I live in Glenside. Good evening, Superintendent Marseille and members of the school board, and thank you for taking the time to consider these comments. I speak to you tonight on behalf of the Cheltenham Township Renewable Energy Transition Team and the four other classes as well. I'm a resident, parent, teacher, and administrator. My family has lived in Glenside for the past 36 years. My wife and I sent our four children to Cedar Brook and CHS, where the skills they developed prepared them for lives as an archaeologist and professor of classics, an English teacher and soccer coach, a master carpenter, and the chief of staff for Governor Wolf's Office of Administration, respectively. I served on the Cheltenham High School faculty for 22 years, from 1996 until my retirement in June of 2018. And finally, I chaired and supervised the high school's English department for 15 of those years. But it's another part of my past that I'm thinking about tonight, at least for a moment. Although I taught AP Lit and other English courses at the high school, I hold a Master of Science degree from UPenn in Energy Management and Policy. I spent the latter part of the 1980s and early 90s in the private sector as Vice President of Operations and Development for International Cogeneration Corporation, developing energy solutions for schools, nursing homes, apartment buildings, and hospitals here and abroad. And as a corporate officer, I was acutely aware of our fiduciary responsibility, our mandate to maximize the company's value for its shareholders. I brought that perspective with me when I landed here in 1996. Cheltenham's shareholders are its students, but our duty to them isn't merely fiduciary. Our mandate is broader. We must optimize their chances of living productive and successful lives in both the near and the long term. But it soon became clear to me that however much we taught them about French or physics, trigonometry or Toni Morrison, we were and are failing them. The climate crisis is making a viable future more and more unlikely with each passing day. And that realization is the elephant squatting in the middle of every Cheltenham classroom. I know this from firsthand experience, and I know something else too. Our students are afraid. They think we've abandoned them, and they're facing this crisis alone. It's a dispiriting realization, one that I've seen played out over and over in my own classroom. It hollows out learning and makes education something of a shared illusion. Our lessons, our entire curriculum, is a blank fiction, well-meaning but a little pointless, because we're preparing them for lives and careers they suspect won't exist when they get there. But they play along because, well, we're the adults, and what choice do they have? A part of them is in mourning, I think. They're grieving a world and a way of life that is passing away just seconds before they get the chance to dwell in its mystery and among its wonders. And I can't stress this enough. Our students have absolutely no frame of reference for what they're about to endure, because it's never in recorded history happened before. They're out there in front of the rest of us, facing the unknown, and they're alone. But it need not be this way. We can acknowledge the elephant in the classroom, tell them we see it too. This past spring, Cheltenham's Board of Commissioners passed a resolution committing the township to a green energy future, 100% clean renewable electricity by 2030, and 100% clean energy across all sectors, including transportation, by 2050. Superintendent Marseille, members of the Board of School Directors, tonight the Renewable Energy Transition Team is asking that you do the same. I prepared a draft resolution for your consideration, modeled on the townships, but modified to reflect our shared sacred trust as teachers and guardians of our children's dreams. Our students, the principal stakeholders in our collective future, cannot do this on their own. Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old Swedish climate activist whose student strikes have sparked a worldwide movement, says that she just wants adults to behave like adults and to act on the terrifying information that is all around us. Our children need us to be by their side, to acknowledge the crisis and to take steps to deal with it that they cannot yet take on their own. A green energy resolution is a sound and visible down payment on this obligation to our children, mine and yours, and to every child in Cheltenham Township, past, present, and future. On behalf of Cheltenham's Renewable Energy Transition Team, thanks again for your time and attention.
Thank you, Mr.
Where can I have the resolution? Where can I need to
You can just give it to us now if you have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? The information is listed for future board meetings. That's on the screen. And now I'll have a motion to adjourn the meeting. Johnson, motion to adjourn. So, Mr. Fishline, do I have a second?
Second.
I'm Mr. Gordell, please. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivations 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.